Good morning. It's great to be here with you all this morning. And I guess the plan is for this morning is we're going to show our progress through a PowerPoint, or we made it into a video. I don't know what the official term is. But with that, some of you may not know who Continental Baptist Missions is. It's actually back, we were just looking at the dates, in 1942, it started out as Hiawatha Missions. And up here, that's a very common name for you guys, is Hiawatha. But that was their mission field, was up here in the mining and logging camps, and also a lot in the southern border of Canada. We went up there a lot, and a lot of churches were established through those things. And so that's kind of our background, and then we became Continental Baptist Missions as we widened our mission field to the North America. So it still included Canada and all of U.S., and even to Alaska and those things. We have one in Puerto Rico right now as well as a church plant. And so with that, with those church plants going on, there came a time when we were planting these churches and the need for a building arose. And so how they started out is they just, a lot of the pastors and church planters were true pioneers, and they started getting help from down people, volunteers coming up from lower Michigan coming up and actually building the church. It's not near as extravagant as we're building today, but they would get the shell up and get a building, and that's where they would start meeting. And then I believe it's Arling Todd is one of the guys that he was not a church planter, but he was a full-time volunteer coming up. And from that, took on the building ministry and started raising support and enough to cover his living expenses. And then he was the first one coming in and starting to take on to the building ministry of actually organizing volunteers and then moving from church plant to church plant, building churches. And so that was kind of what we're involved in. We're actually builders with Continental Baptist Missions. And our goal is to come alongside of our church planters and assist them in the ministry. For us, that why we joined, that God burdened me with, is I love to do the church construction stuff, but also when you know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you have a passion for people. And our desire, why we're building it, is alongside those church planters, is to reach that community for Jesus Christ. And so as we're building, we're also testimony and have lots of opportunities to be a witness to contractors, neighbors, delivery people, all those things, and that's where we come in as part of assisting in the ministry of the church plant. If we weren't building, there would not be a lot of the connections that we get. And so through the process of the building process is we get to team up with that church in planting the church while we're there. It used to be we'd probably average about one church a year on average, and now we're down in builders' numbers, and it's running closer to about a year and a half or a little longer to build the church, depending on the size of the church that we're building. But that does our ministry. So during the days and stuff like that, we're actually doing the church construction and building the church. But while we're there, we're getting involved in that church. Sometimes it's my wife's very active in the nursery ministry right now in Sparta that we're doing. There's other Bible studies. We've done youth groups. I've done a parenting class that I've done in West Virginia, of sitting down and meeting with young parents and going through a session. We've done joy clubs and those type of things, and that's what the ministries we get involved in there. But at the same time, just like you got a normal job, we're building the church during the day, but very active and serving in those things. And as times look just like now, I have opportunities to fill the pulpit as well. And if there's other things you think of, we can have a question at a time, but that's basically in a nutshell where we're at, for the building ministry. We, if we don't have a church plant going on, which has been pretty ready to be built, then we come down to other mission agencies of like faith and practice that we build for. We built for Baptist Mid-Missions, Baptist Church Planters, and then further down our priority list that we check off on would be, already established churches. I think before then it's restoration churches. I think there's four priority lists that ones that are in restoration and need help as a rescue almost, and then down there is established churches that are small that we could take on. There's some churches that are putting on big additions, and usually we don't take those on for those things. And so that's we've been doing established churches for quite last four or five projects. And so that's been fun, too, to do that as well. Just so you can get to know us better, a lot of times we get a question, well, how did you get into this? And that's when I'll invite my wife up, and we'll just share a testimony how God directed us into the building ministry in a testimony fashion. And then after that, we would like to show you the PowerPoint of what's happening in Sparta, Michigan. You get some feedback from John, and then I've been prepping him every week before he comes up here to update you guys. So you should be all up to date. Right, John? Just kidding. So it's been neat to see answer to prayer all the way through the project, even how God's provided so much for that church. And it's a neat place. Everywhere we go, we can see God's hand in it of how he works and how he provides for that church financially wise and those things. So we'll start with our testimonies and then go from there. I was very, very blessed growing up. I'm from central Iowa. And so if you know where Des Moines at, I grew up about an hour northeast of there, a town called Marshalltown, just outside in the country. But my mom and dad were both saved, and my earliest memories were always going to church, as well as the WANA program. We went through the WANA program all the way through. With that, we always tried to have the evening supper meal. It was easier when we were younger, but get more of a challenge as all of us got older. And there's a total of six of us kids, and five boys and one girl. And so is what our family consisted of. But even then, as a Christian family, there's a lot of talk of what God was doing around the dinner table and those kind of things. And through the WANA program, I honestly probably started out with the wrong reasons. It was a competition for me. There was this one girl that was very smart, and I had to keep up with her and saying the verses and going like that. And going through, and but as I was talking to my mom, and my mom was helping me, she took 17 and a half years off her teaching career. She was a teacher in the public schools to raise up all of us kids to a certain age that we got into school, and then she went back to teaching. And so mom was home, and we were talking about things and got on the topic of salvation. And my mom explained to me more of who Jesus Christ was. I knew the name. I didn't know him, obviously. I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but didn't totally understand it. And so she started walking me through the scriptures of Romans 3:23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And it didn't take mom long to explain sin to me. With five boys and one girl, our best pastime was roughhousing in the house. And my parents said, we're not going to get anything really nice until all of you are gone. We are hard on stuff. And so, but she explained, I knew the rules. I knew if you're in a rough house, take it outside. Don't be inside busting up stuff. And so with that, mom used that example, explained that to me. I understood what sin was. What I didn't understand was the end of it. Falling short of the glory of God, she went to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the wages of sin is death. That's the part I didn't understand. That penalty, that eternal separation from God. And my mom explained that in terms of simpler terms of what that meant as a seven-year-old boy. And through this whole conversation, the Holy Spirit's just working on my heart and revealing to understand that I had a sin problem. And that kept me from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And mom moved on to Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love towards us. That way we at sinners, Christ died for us. And explained to that's why Jesus Christ went to the cross. To pay the penalty of the sins in my place. Big word, she didn't use this word, but propitiation. Of taking my place, that the penalty was due right there. And he paid it for me and gave it to me as a gift. And explained that whole process. And like I said, through this whole conversation, the Holy Spirit is working on my heart. I'm starting to understand it, and starting to understand where my place was and my sin and the penalty it created. And she ended with Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so at the end of this conversation with my mom, we were sitting on the couch, And I was ready to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And so I prayed with my mom, admitting that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior, and accepted His free gift of salvation. And from there, I was a born-again believer.
Good morning. My name is Jody, for those of you I haven't met yet. On Palm Sunday, when I was 8 years old, I was attending a children's church program at our home church in central Iowa. And since it was Palm Sunday, the teacher was giving a very clear gospel presentation, going through much of what Jeremy just went through, all the verses. But at the end of the lesson, she told the kids in the class, she asked us, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? It's heaven or hell. And I knew in my little 8-year-old mind, I don't know. I know I want to go to heaven, but I didn't know for sure. So I did raise my hand during her invitation, and after church, she actually talked to my parents about it, told them that I had raised my hand. And so that evening, my dad was able to sit down with me and ask me about why I rose my hand and what I was thinking about. And he re-explained verses to me, made sure I understood that it wasn't a decision Dad could make for me. It was my heart and my relationship with the Lord and me needing a personal Savior. And so that night I did pray with my dad, asked Christ to come into my heart and my life and to forgive me my sins. And so I am 100% sure now that if I were to die tonight, that I would be in heaven.
I guess you could say, looking back on it, of God's preparation of preparing me to be with Continental Baptist Missions, it starts for me when I went clear back into junior high camp in Iowa, which would be in Clear Lake, I guess. And that camp, I couldn't tell you what the message was about or whatnot. We had a speaker there, but it was on dedicating your life to Christ. And the Lord just really convicted me on that. And I went back, went forward, and met with one of the counselors. And at that point, didn't know what God had in store for me at that age or whatnot, but I surrendered my life to Christ and said, hey, whatever you have in store for me, that's what I want to do. And so from that point on, I got baptized when I was a little older. And then from that point, I went through the Awana program all the way through high school. In preparation of that, I was involved. I went to a public school, so I was involved in football. And then, as you can tell, I wrestled with my brothers a lot, and Mom let me go out for wrestling. So I was on the wrestling team in junior high to my junior year. But at that point, one of my first mission trips that I ever went to was Hanover, Pennsylvania. And that was probably when I was in junior high as well. At that point, our home church, that was our sending church, was the same sending church for Dean and Juanita Button. They were missionary builders with Continental Baptist Missions. And so we went to go visit them on site in Hanover, Pennsylvania. They weren't building at the time. We didn't go there to help them build, but they're helping put on a vacation Bible school, and that's what our trip was about, was to help them, assist them in putting on the vacation Bible school in the area. And so I was on the craft crew, and so we did tie-dye t-shirts, and with that, but I also, my main thing that I got to see was Dean and Juanita were part of that crew, so I was working side-by-side with them. And what left that impression on me is their passion for the people. I got to see their love for these kids and working side by side with them. And that stuck out to me, even at that age, of just how much they love these kids. And if I would have just walked in and not known they were builders when we went there, I wouldn't have known they were builders. I would have just thought they were just like a planter or whatnot, just from their passion and desire for these kids and their to share Christ with them, to share the love of God with them. And so that was my first exposure to them. And even in going into the high school, God started working on my heart, changing my desires to be more like Him. And what I mean by that is I love to wrestle. I love the independency of it. I love the challenge of it. And I thrived every winter that I loved doing it. And it was a commitment when I went out. My parents just got that in my brain, is like, if you're going to commit to something, don't short that commitment that you did. So when I went into wrestling, that meant I went before school, and there's pre-practices there. And then after school was a commitment there, and in order to go out for wrestling, I had to keep my grades up. So there was a commitment there. And with that also, once the season started, every Tuesday and Thursday were meets. And then every Saturday was a tournament. So my weekends is just, it was life when I went out, and I loved it at first. And in the process of it and the camaraderie with the guys. But my junior year, I went, preseason was starting, we were getting in shape and going from there. But the Lord just took that desire away. I was even in a Bible study with my youth pastor and kind of using it as excuses with him. And so we would meet, and I'd be trying to do both things in the evenings and try to get everything done. And the commitment to be part of this Bible study was you need to have your devotions every day and then do your lesson. And we were going through The Measure of a Man as a book with a bunch of us guys in the church. And he goes around, and there's accountability time. He asks, hey, did you get your lesson done? I was like, yeah, I got most of it done. He goes, what about your devotions? I was like, no, I didn't get to it. You know, I had my excuse was I had wrestling practice, I had this, I had that. And he goes, well, next week, he goes, try to get it in every day. Let's just try a week at a time here. And so I got her done. And he came around and asked, he says, okay, did you get your book done? Yep, got my lesson done. Great. What about devotions? Did we do that? He goes, yep, I got that done. He says, great. What'd you get out of it? I didn't have an answer for him. I set my clock. I was on a tight time schedule there, you know, in my eyes. And so I read whatever chapter I was on for 15 minutes, shut the Bible, and I was like, check that box right off. I did them. Got it done. And so from that point on, he said, you don't have to read for 15 minutes. He goes, you might just do one verse. And as the Lord works on your heart, it might turn into going to a totally different chapter or pondering on that verse. And just showed me that devotions just isn't a box to check off. It's developing a relationship with God and finding out who He really is. And maybe you're only getting a half a verse. Maybe you're only getting one phrase for the morning that you're pondering on and praying about. And as the Holy Spirit convicts you in how He's molding and changing you inside. My junior year, I actually dropped out mid-season, our first season of it. I didn't get into the meets yet, but of wrestling. God just took that whole desire away. What He put it back into is I didn't do very many youth activities until I dropped out of wrestling, because that was life for me. On the weekends and everything, I was busy just that one thing. So after I dropped out of wrestling, then I got more involved in youth group, I got more involved in Bible studies, and God was able to shape and mold me a whole lot easier in that atmosphere than when I was in wrestling. And that's not that wrestling's bad, that God just had something way better for me in preparation of where I am at today.
So a little bit about my family background. I was also blessed to grow up in a Christian family. My parents are both saved. I have two younger sisters. They both know the Lord and are serving Him with their husbands and families. And so I'm thankful for just the heritage I have of growing up in a Christian home. I don't ever want to take that for granted, because I know that that's not everyone's story. But I'm thankful that that's where God placed me. When I was going into fifth grade, my parents made the decision to start homeschooling, my sisters and I. I was homeschooled all the way through high school graduation, and I'm very thankful that God led my parents to that decision. We were able to study God's Word through every subject and just really focus on not only our walk with the Lord, but our walk as a family together. Today, I am so thankful that I can call my sisters two of my very closest friends, and I know it's because of the relationships that were nurtured when we were younger, being at home all day together. Yeah, we didn't always get along, but I'm just thankful that that's where God led our family into that, and then how God used it now, which I'll get to in a little bit, but just the whole homeschooling journey. Also, like Jeremy's family, with growing up in a Christian home, we were also very involved in church. We did grow up in the same church together, so that's how we met. I think I was in second grade when we started going to the same church that his family was at. So we've grown up together, and that's our, I guess, brief background, is we just have always known each other because of church. But we were just very involved. Whatever was going on, my family was probably there, whether it was like Awana clubs or helping with VBS, being part of the youth group. I served in a puppet team that our youth group had, so I did that for a few years, and camps and mission trips and just everything going on at church. I'm so thankful for the church that I grew up in, just very strong and biblically sound, and very thankful for the heritage again that I had growing up.
So God's calling into the ministry. When I was in high school, I knew the talents that God had blessed me with. I love to do physical work. We always grew up out of the country. I was always involved in 4-H. I would be the one asking my dad. We didn't have livestock or nothing like that. But my dad had early histories of farming and then lost it in the 80s when I was really, really young. But even then, we still did chickens. I had my own chicken business of selling chickens in the summer. We did about 500 a summer and always got them all sold. And then my uncle raised cows, and then I was able to use some of his steers for 4-H. And my 4-H leader raised pigs, and I kind of did a bartering system, and I'd raise pigs on the second floor of our barn in the place where we lived to do that for 4-H. I just loved that stuff, which always caused lots of extra work, but I never minded it. I had chores in the morning before school and after, all those things, and just loved doing that atmosphere. And with that kind of stuff that I enjoyed, I never felt called to be a preacher. Even that's ironic because that's what I'm doing this morning. But as time gets older, God even continues to mold you in different ways. But at that time, the Lord just brought on Dean and Juanita Button, the missionary couple that I told you about earlier. We would hear their reports, same place where you guys are at now, sitting in a pew, and I'd hear what they've been doing. And the Lord just grabbed a hold of my heart and in a sense just said, hey, you could do something like that. And it excited me because it's physical work. I could build churches. I could do that. My dad was not a construction man. I never worked, but my other pastime growing up, we'd build forts. And we spent, it was all for the purpose of, you know, for this ultimate battle that we were going to have. But 90% of the summer was to get the fort just perfect for that ultimate battle. You know, playing with guns or with our fake guns and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, we could tweak this just a little bit better. And so we'd make a tower and we'd make this and we'd, man, this is too short. So then we'd dig out a whole basement thing and we'd build this thing like a house of whatever scrap wood that, and dad, poor dad could never find his tools because we were pretty bad at stealing them and taking them down to the fort. But that was our pastime. But with that, we loved doing that stuff. And then as I talked to Dean and White A. Button, the Holy Spirit just kept prompting my heart. And so the calling for me is that I went on a survey trip to Appleton, Wisconsin with our youth group and went there, and Dean Juanita Button was there, another missionary couple that I met, Louis Miller was there, and some other of the builders. And I would talk to each one of them and just get in their testimony. How did God work in your life? How did he call you? What does this look like for ministry, or what is the full package scope of it? And from the end of that time frame that we were with them, the Lord just really set in my heart that this is what he wanted me to do. And so by the end of high school, I knew that I was going down this track to be a missionary with Continental Baptist Missions as a builder. And what attracted me to Continental Baptist Missions was it was the building process, yes, but also the same aspect, I had a passion for people. And that's why I went with them, because we were considered missionaries. And our other main objective, no matter where we're at in the building stage, is the ministry of outreach. And to share God's word with them. And that's one of the beauty things about us is that we might be in the middle of something, but have the full power to put our tools down and go talk to people as they come in and share the gospel. And either that or share the loves of Christ and start building a relationship that we can share the gospel later on. And we've had several opportunities that we could share with you guys of those events of how God's brought people in, that we can share the gospel with these guys. And in Florida, one time we did actually were able to lead one person to the Lord. So it's a really unique thing, and that's what excites me. That's my passion behind the building ministry. There's nothing fancy of the church that we're building. It's just a tool. It's just a building. Someday it'll pass away. But what happens inside the real church, which is the people, that's where the ministry's at. That's what Christ is talking about as the assembly. That's the word church in the Greek. It's actually assembly. And so that's where our passion and desire is, and that's what God called me into when I was in high school. And so from there, the calling that we went there, I went to Faith Baptist Bible College for 3 years. I got their 2-year Bible And then I went to Des Moines Area Community College in the building trades program to learn the construction trades of more specifically. Once I was out of high school, I started working for a contractor building custom homes and getting more experience through that whole process.
While I was still growing up at home, my family supported another missionary family. They were on the mission field in Africa, Cameroon. And so growing up, for me to just interact with their family, they had kids that were our ages. And so for us to, I guess, just my first experience with missions and what's all involved, and for the kids to, when they came home on furlough, to talk about Africa as home, really had a great impact on me. They loved living in Africa and growing up there, and they loved serving with their parents on the mission field. And so I'm thankful for that kind of introduction to missions in my life growing up. And then when I was a senior in high school, our mission trip that summer for our youth group was to Bolivia, South America. And the purpose of that trip was to work at a church camp in the mountains. And we were building for this camp, helping them build some cabins and things. And so even though we were in a third world country, the construction was very different than what we do here. But God still used that in my life to introduce, again, another facet of missions, which was building. So it's just a great experience to help out that camp, be a part of the ministry, get our hands into the construction process, and be a part of that. And then towards the end of high school also is when Jeremy and I started dating. And at that point, already I knew, my family knew, that this was kind of the direction God was leading him, what he'd been talking about. And I remember one day specifically, my mom said, you know, this is where God is leading Jeremy into the building ministry. What does God want for my life? Where is he leading me? And what does that mean for our relationship together? So it really just caused me to stop more and think, what is God's plan for my life? So I think just through then much prayer and counsel from my parents and youth pastor and his wife and just God's leading, the Holy Spirit's leading, I just had a great peace and an excitement to be a part of this ministry with him, that God has used all the things I've already talked about to bring us together to this point. And so I'm thankful for God's leading in that direction and that we can serve together.
Our main passion is that we want to get involved in the church just like it was our home church. And that's what we consider it. So as we travel around, as we're in Sparta, that's our home church. That's where we're going to church, and that's where we're serving at in the capacities. And sometimes it's not always up front. Sometimes nobody knows that I'm serving with the church, but I've taken on a project. One time I've sheetrocked the pastor's garage, and he's having heating problems because it was living space above the garage. And so we spend our nights working at insulating it and then rewiring things and redoing things just to help him out so that he can not worry about those things and just focus on the ministry. Sometimes things can get very distracting for pastors if they're struggling with family issues or something's wrong there. If we can service him in that way and take care of some of these things, it helps him focus right on what he's got to do and for the time's sake he's got. So sometimes we end up doing a lot of behind the scenes things that we can do, or God has me up front maybe with youth group serving in that way, or kids clubs and stuff like that. Each place looks a little different. We usually, each time we're hitting a new place, we're just praying and saying, Lord, how do you want us to get involved in this church? Where do you want us to be at this time? And so that's kind of the preparation we have as we move from church to church.
What does life look like for me as a builder's wife? I have recently worked myself out of a job. We do have two boys. Brandon just finished his first year at Faith Baptist Bible College in Iowa. And Ethan, who is here with us, just finished his senior year of high school. And we did homeschool them all the way through. So I worked myself out of a teaching job recently with Ethan finishing school. So life will look much different for us from here on out since I don't have homeschooling to do anymore. But I'm so thankful we were able to do that as we travel and move so often. We're able to teach our boys at home. So that was a big part of my days with just raising our boys. And then, like Jeremy said, just ministries in the church, whether it was nursery, singing in the choir if there was one, filling in for Sunday school, helping in children's church, whatever. Like he said, things look different at every ministry, but we just love to serve, love to make it home while we're there, establish friendships and relationships, and share the love of Christ.
And kind of that's how God developed our lives, but then into this ministry with Continental Baptist Missions. One of my life verses is Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all for the name of Jesus Christ. And that's kind of my phrase, because that's what my ministry looks like. It's not just a standard thing, it's whatever I'm doing. And to have that mindset whatever I'm doing, it is for Jesus Christ. I am his ambassador. I am his representation here, why he has me here on earth.